This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to number 16 of this series on the sciences of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us through this. We will start with tilawah from the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ألم تر أن الله سخر لكم ما في الأرض والفلك تجري في البحر بأمره ويمسك السماء أن تقع على الأرض إلا بإذنه إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم وهو الذي أحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَكَفُورٌ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا هُمْ نَاسِكُوهُ فَلَا يُنَازِعُنَّكَ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَادْعُ إِلَى رَبِّكَ إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى هُدًى مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَإِنْ جَادَلُوكَ فَقُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ الله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So now we start off with our final discussion on the huruf al-tahajji or the huruf muqatta'at of the Quran that everybody reads an alif, lam, mim, and they are obviously quite taken aback and curious about what they mean. So these are called huruf al-tahajji. Tahajji essentially means the alphabet. So that's why you get the term tahajji. And they also call huruf al-muqatta'ah, which refer to the disparate letters that have been brought together. Well, they seem disparate, but they're actually not, like alif, lam, mim, alif, lam, mim, sad, alif, lam, ra, ha, mim, qaf, and noon. So let's look at them in a bit more detail today, and let's see how much we can cover of this, inshallah. So what is the number one, the first question that we're going to try to answer here is that what is the purpose of alif, lam, ra, and noon, and qaf? Why are they brought as these sets of letters, sometimes individual, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four, and sometimes five? According to the majority of the commentators of the Quran and the linguists, so majority of scholars, I would say, they say that these are the names of the surahs. These are the names of the surahs that follow, essentially. They are the names of the surah. And the purpose of naming them with these letters is interesting in the sense that these surahs, that all the message that will follow in these surahs, they're written out and composed of these very same letters that are found at the beginning of this, which indicates towards the i'jaz or inimitability of the Quran. I know I keep discussing the inimitability and i'jaz of the Quran. We will have a session, inshallah, next week on that subject, inshallah. And so the idea is that if the Quran was not a wahi and revelation Allah is saying by this, then they would not have been incapacitated, and they would have been able to then produce something like it. Now we've got a hadith which is supportive of this view. So this view is not just a random view. There's a hadith which is related by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, which supports this idea that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite in the morning prayer on Friday, he used to recite the following, Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda and Hal Ata Alal Insan. So he's actually naming the surah, Surah As-Sajda, as Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda. And Hal Ata Alal Insan, well, that's exactly how it begins, Hal Ata Alal Insan. So the surah name is Hal Ata Alal Insan, Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding Surah Yasin, Yasin Qalbul Quran, that Yasin is the heart of the Quran, which means the Surah Yasin is heart of the Quran. So from this, although you could interpret this in a different way, all of these, to say that it's the surah in which Yasin is mentioned, or it's the surah which starts off with Hamim, As-Sajda, right? Or that has a sajda in there and it has a hameem or alif lameem at the beginning rather. So there are various ways of interpreting this, but otherwise, if you look at it just straightforward, that's what it says. There's also another hadith which says, Man qara'a ayat al-kursi, right? Whoever recites ayat al-kursi, right? So the idea is to name the ayah in that case. Or whoever recites hameem, right? The Surah al-Mu'min hameem, then he will be protected on that day from every kind of evil, as has been related by Imam Tirmidhi in his hadith and Bazzar and others. And there's other surahs as well. Right? There's other ways that this has been mentioned as well. So that's one opinion. And I don't think it's I don't think there's any contradiction between this opinion and the second opinion, which could be seen as separately, that because a lot of research scholars, they say, no, it's not necessarily the surah names. It's actually more the fact that these are separate letters that have been produced here, again, for the purpose of the ijaz of the Quran, to say to the very people that the Quran is challenging, is that you use the same letters, we're using the same letters. Look, these are alif, lam, ra, noon, kaf, whatever, and you cannot produce something like we've been able to produce. So this is actually for that purpose, that it is to incapacitate them by literally showing them that it's the very same letters that you use in your alphabet, we use in our alphabet, but you still can't do anything like that. Now, as I mentioned, that's very similar, those two opinions, because you could say they're the names of Allah, they're the names of the surahs that have also been used for that purpose of to challenge them, to show them that these are the simple, you know, these are simple letters, right? Okay. Now the third view is that these are actually the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like some of them are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least some of them is being related, right? Meaning when they're done together, they represent one of the names of Allah, they signify a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these views, this view is made up of two parts. One is that every single letter in there refers to a name of Allah. And the other view is that no, when you put them together, then they become a name, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both of these opinions have been mentioned from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, Alif Lam Mim means An Allahu A'lam, that I am Allah who is most aware of everything. I am Allah, the omniscient one. I know everything. I am Allah who knows everything. So that's one thing that's related from him. The other one is that, the other opinion from him is that Alif Lam Mim, Alif stands for Allah, and the Lam stands for Latif, which is Allah's other name of compassionate or subtle. And Mim stands for the name Majid. So Allah Latifun Majid is what Alif Lam stands for. Now, because you don't necessarily have this kind of interpretation for every single one of them, this is not a very, very strong view. But as I said, it is related like this from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And then there's another one that's related from him, that Alif Lam Ra and Hamim and Noon, they refer to Ar-Rahman, that refer to the name of Allah, the most compassionate and merciful one, Ar-Rahman. Alif Lam Ra, Hamim, and Noon. Because Alif Lam Ra has the Ra, the Hamim has the Mim, and the Ha as well. So it's Hamim, Rahman. It's got the two letters, and Noon has the Noon. Now, this might sound really completely random, but actually they've got proof of this. They substantiate this from one point, that the Arabs, in their poetry, would actually sometimes use these kind of abbreviations. This is what you could maybe call acronyms or something like that, or abbreviations, where there's a letter that stands for something. We have that today. You know, we have that today where you have British Home Stores became B&H or whatever, right? And many other companies, they eventually shorten it down to, you know, just two letters, right? C and D, or G and F, or whatever the case is, right? So they used to actually do that in the Arabs do this. They've got the poetry, for example, there's a poem who said there's a poet who says فَقُلْتُ لَهَا قِفِي فَقَالَتْ قَاف, I told her stop, so she said قَاف وَقَفْتُ. قَاف refers to وَقَفْتُ, and وَقَفْتُ means I've stopped. You need to stop doing this. So she said, I've stopped, by just saying waqaftu, like in English we'd say, she said S or P, which means stop. Now I know that we might not be able to get our heads around that, but that's all convention actually. So we'll leave that there. Now among all of them, actually the ulama say that the first opinion, the second opinion is generally what you hear from people, the first opinion. And as I said, the first and second opinion can be combined together to understand this, right? Right. Now, there's some other really interesting things that I've mentioned here. I'm not going to go into the very radical, extreme kind of ideas that come from this in terms of the number game and the secrets in numbers and all of that. But there is some very straightforward things that you can understand from here. And inshallah, this will be really, really interesting for you. So for example, the number of surahs, right, in which start with huruf al-tahajji, the huruf muqatta'at, where these letters begin, right, where these letters are used to begin the surah with, is exactly 29 surahs. Okay, 29 surahs have started with letters. And the number of letters in the Arabic language, as long as you consider Hamza and Alif to be separate, is also 29. So the number of the Arabic alphabet is also 29, and there's 29 surahs of the Quran that start with the letters of the alphabet. Okay. Now, the other thing is that if you were to take all of those names, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra, and count the number of letters they're composed of that make up these 29 names, or these 29 beginnings, they've not used 29 letters in them. They've only used actually 14 letters out of 29 letters have been used to make up these constructs. Because remember, a lot of them are hamim, and there's many of them is alif lam ra, alif lam ra, alif lam mim sad. So there's alif lam in all of them. So you're not going to get certain letters in any of them. So that's why only 14 letters are found across the board that have been used to make these 29 beginnings, and 29 is also the number of letters in the Arabic alphabet, as long as you consider Hamza and Alif to be two separate letters. Otherwise, it's 28. The other thing is, what supports this idea that it could be names and so on, is that there's the number of letters that are used for these beginnings. They're either one, like Noon, Qaf, Saad, or there's two letters like Hamim, right, or Yasin, or Taha, or there's three letters like Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim, or there's four letters like Alif Lam Mim Sad, or Alif Lam Mim Ra, or there's five letters like Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, right? So in Arabic, generally most letter, most words are made up between one to five letters as well. So that kind of shows that this could be a name, because you have names that are of one letter to up to five letters. In all of these, in all 29 of these, after the surah begin with these words, there's always a discussion about the Quran. Except in three surahs, there's always a discussion in the Quran. There's always a discussion about the Quran. So that all of that indicates that this seems to be a name of the surahs. And I think that will make a bit more sense, inshallah. Also, there's a lot of people who've looked into what they would consider the secrets of these things and other various connections and numbers and all of that kind of stuff. That's not something that we're going to be looking at, because the Quran is supposed to be an Arabic book, not a numbers book. So if somebody did find something, well, that's up to them, but that's not something that we take and get excited over, all right? Because the main main purpose of this is that the Quran is made up of Arabic letters. So that's why if there's something that is relevant to that, that makes sense. Otherwise, everything else, we're just going to have to avoid that. We don't have to worry about that too much. Now, I'm going to explain to you each one of them. For example, there's some other really interesting points about this, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used Alif Lam Ra in this particular surah, and Alif Lam Mim in that particular surah, and Saad to begin Surah Saad, and Noon to begin Surah Noon, it wouldn't have worked otherwise in terms of the harmony that's created. And you're wondering, what are we speaking about? So for example, if Saad wal Qur'ani dhikr was Noon wal Qur'ani dhikr, it wouldn't work. the harmony would not be there anymore. So there's a really exclusive harmony in the way it's done now. You'll find this really, really interesting. So, for example, there's some very specific reasons why these particular letters have been used to start those surahs. For example, if Alif Lam Mim was put in Alif Lam Ra, or in Hamim, or in place of Taseen, then it wouldn't work because the harmonies would be spoilt. What does that mean? What you generally find is that if the surah begins with Noon, you'll find lots of Noons in the surah. If it starts with Alif Lam Ra, you'll find that there's lots of Ra's used in the surah, more than usual, almost, right? Likewise, you'll find that when it's Surah Sa'd, there's lots of Sa'ds mentioned in the surah. So let's start off with a few examples. This is not exhaustive, but this will give you some idea of what we're talking about. So if you take Qaf, right? Surah Qaf, right? Well, Qur'an al-Majid. Now, the reason why they say that Qaf has been used to start off that surah is because there's numerous words with Qaf that have been used in that entire surah. So, for example, there is the Qur'an that's mentioned in there, right? There's Khalq, which has a Qaf at the end. Then there's constant, the word Qawl, Qala, Qawl, is constantly repeated in there, right? There's constantly, if you study that surah, you'll actually see it, that it's, especially when they're discussing the dialogue between those people who go to paradise and those people who are going to go to hellfire. There's lots of, the word qawl is used quite a bit. Then there's a discussion in there of the raqib. There's the discussion in there of the sa'iq, sa'iqun wa shaheed. So that has qaf in there as well. Then there's the concept of ilqa fi jahannam, again qaf, being thrown into the hellfire. Then there's the concept of taqaddum bil wa'd, right? Producing the promise. Then there's the discussion of the muttaqeen, again with the qaf. There's discussion of the heart in there, right? So qalb is there. Then there's the qurun that's mentioned in there. There's the tanqib, munaqqaban, tanqib is mentioned in there. There's the tashaffuqul ard, which means yawma tashaqqukul ard, sorry, tashaqqukul ard is mentioned, tashaqquk. وَتَشَقَّقَ الْأَرْضِ So there's the concept of the earth splitting up. There's حُقُوق that are referred in there. Lots of qafs are in there. Then when you go to Surah Yunus, for example, there's a huge discussion. It's Alif Lam Ra. So there's lots of Ra's that are mentioned in there in so many different places because it started off with Alif Lam Ra. Then after that, let's look at Sa'd, because you know the Sa'd, Qaf, Noon are very interesting because they're just a single letter. So Surah Sa'd, what's really interesting in here is that Surah Sa'd seems to refer to khusumat. Khusumat. A khusuma is essentially a dispute or a dialogue or a quarrel or a debate of some sort. That's what you call a khusuma. So you have numerous khusumat or dialogues or debates that have been related in Surah Sa'd. For example, you have the dialogue or debate between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the disbelievers, right? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, you can check this in verse 5, أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا. Did they make, or actually this is the disbeliever saying that, did they consider all of our deities or deities to be just one deity? Did they make him just one Allah, right? And then after that, there's the discussion about the two the two people who bring that case and have a debate or have a case that is heard in front of Dawood alayhi salam, the khasman, right? That's there. Then after that, there's the takhasumu ahlin nar. There's the people of hellfire that are having a dialogue, right? There's within themselves. I mean, we don't have the time, otherwise I'd bring you all of these verses and we'd read all of them. But you can check this out for yourself. You'll notice it. Then after that, there's the dialogue between al-mala'ul a'la, the higher assembly. Then after that, there is the whole debate or the dialogue between Iblis regarding Adam alayhi salam status. The whole dialogue, you should prostrate, he didn't prostrate, why should I prostrate? All of that dialogue is there as well. So then there is the discussion about him becoming rejected and him being thrown out. So all of that discussion is in there, and all of those are khusumat, which comes from Sa'd. Then after that, if you Another really interesting point is that those surahs that start with Alif Lam Mim, which are the first Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, right? These start with Alif Lam Mim primarily, right? Now, Alif Lam Mim has three, Alif Lam Mim essentially encompasses three, all three places of the sources and origins of our letters. So the Arabic letters all come from three places, either from the throat. So you've got six letters that come from the throat. Okay, then you've got many, many that come from the inside of the mouth. The majority actually are intoned and pronounced from the inside of the mouth. And then the final few are produced from the lips, like the waw, the fa, the meme. So now you've got Alif Lam Mim. Alif represents the throat because that's where the Hamza, the ha, comes from. Then you've got the Lam, which comes from the inside of the mouth, the top, Al, comes from the roof of the mouth. And then the Mim, which comes from the tongue, which comes from the lips, right? Which comes from the lips. So all three are represented here. Now, this is an indication, something, and again, this is nothing from the hadith or whatever, but these are just things that scholars have found, that Alif Lam Mim, especially the surahs in which Alif Lam Mim are mentioned, you're going to have all of these really interesting points that it represents right from the bottom. It goes all the way to the outside. So this is an indication from the beginning to the end, from the Genesis to the end, right? The beginning refers to the beginning of creation. So that's actually, you will find these themes that are mentioned in these surahs with Alif Lam. You'll find major themes of, number one, beginning of creation, how creation started. That means story of Adam alayhi salam and so on. Then after that, you're going to find discussions in there of the end, right? Which is the Ma'ad, which is the hereafter, Jannat and Jahannam, the day of judgment and so on. Then you're going to find also a discussion of the middle, just like the mouth is in the middle, right? The inside of the mouth, the letters come from there. The Lam represents that. So that is essentially the halal and haram, the legislations, because that's the life of this world. We're born, then you spend the life of this world, and then there's the hereafter. So the life of this world refers to the way you need to live this life, which is essentially a number of legislations, laws, right? The prohibitions, the commands, and so on. So what you actually find, that every surah that starts off with Alif Lam Mim, you'll find all three of these discussions that will be mentioned in there. Right. Now let us take Surah Al-A'raf, for example. You've got Surah Ali Imran, Surah Al-A'raf. It starts with Alif Lam Mim. It starts with Alif Lam Mim, but in Surah Al-Sad now, you've got a discussion, in Surah Al-A'raf, it actually adds another letter. So you've got Alif Lam Mim Sad. Kitabun unzila ilayka fala yakun fi sadrika haraj. Now, why Sad added onto Alif Lam Mim? Because there's an additional point that's mentioned in Alif Lam Mim Sad. You've got the story of Adam alayhi salam in there as well, Jannah, Jahannam, all of that is discussed there, but there's an additional aspect that this surah now is going to be made up of stories. And that's why it's Sharhul Qasas. So the Sad is there for Qasas or Qisas, which refers to stories and accounts. The story of Adam alayhi salam is mentioned in there, and then the story of number of the other prophets are mentioned in there as well. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in there, فَلَا in verse 2, أَلِفْ لَا مِنْ صَادْ كِتَابٌ نُزِلَ إِلَيْكَ فَلَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرِكَ حَرَجٍ. Right? فَلَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرِكَ حَرَجٍ. That they should remain in your chest. They should not remain in your chest any kind of issue. Okay? And some have said that أَلِفْ لَا مِنْ صَادْ is actually, it means, you know, remember I told you at the beginning that all of these are also could be indications towards something. So that's why some ulama have said that Alif Lam Mim Sad actually is Alam Nashrah Laka Sadarak, because when you carry on with that surah, Alif Lam Mim Sad Kitabun Unzila Ilayka, this is a book that has been revealed to you, so that there remains no problem or issue or kind of turbulence in your heart. So Alam Nashrah Laka Sadarak, did we not expand your breast for you? So it's the same kind of idea. Alif Lam Mim Sad is very, very relevant to فَلَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرِكَ حَرَجٍ. Then after that, if we move on to Surah Al-Ra'd, where it's actually Alif Lam Mim Ra. So you've got Alif Lam Mim, but then you've got Ra as well. Now there, it's the Surah of Ra'd, which essentially refers to the Ra'd angel. That means the angel that produces the thunder, right? The lightning and the thunder discussion is in there, right? And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the concept of رَفَعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ is mentioned. Raf'u samawat, the raising, and of course this is all to do with Arabic, so if you don't understand Arabic, you know, you'll have some trouble understanding this, but it's all Arabic words here. The heavens, the raising of the heavens is there as well. Then after that you've got the discussion of the ra'ad, the bark, right? So the lightning and the thunder is mentioned in there as well. And all of that, you know, you've got the ra's in there. So that's why alif, lam, mim, ra is there. Again, these are speculative ideas, but they're very interesting ideas and they seem to have harmony and seem to make some sense. But again, I don't think it's the Prophet ﷺ who said this, right? Now, if we move on, I earlier alluded that nearly every single one of those 29 surahs that start with those letters, they always follow up the next verse. And I clarified this in all of those surahs last year in my juz by juz tafsir, right? So you can check it in there, but I'll just quickly go through here. There's only three in which this not mentioned, but even in there, in many of them, it's actually something related. But in all of them otherwise, there's a discussion of the Quran. So for example, let's see. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That's Surah Al-Baqarah. That is, Alif Lam Mim, that is the book. Then after that, we've got Surah Ali Imran. نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابُ. Right, he is the one who revealed the book to you. Then after that, you got Surah Al-Araf, Kitabun Alif Lam Mim Sad, Kitabun Unzila Ilayka. This is a book which has been revealed to you. Surah Yunus, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab. These are the verses of the book. Then after that, if you look at Surah Taha, is Taha Ma Anzalna Alayka Al-Quran Litashqa. We have revealed this Quran to you so that you do not become wretched, or so that you know, we did not reveal the Quran to you so that you become wretched, or something like that. Then you've got Surah Al-Shu'ara, Taasimim, Tilka Ayatul Kitab. These are the verses of the book again. Then you've got Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. I mean, that's self explanatory. Then you've got Sad wal Quran al Dhikr, the Quran which is the one full of reminders. Then you've got Hamim, Surah Ghafir, Hamim Tanzilul Kitab, the revelation of the book. Then you've got Surah Qaf wal Quran again. Right, the Quran is mentioned there, except three surahs. That is Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah Al-Rum. That's Alif Lam Mim. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. Now that's about a miracle. And I think the reason why it's not necessarily mentioned in there is because in a few years it was going to become very clear. The prophecy of this Quran was going to be very clear because it's a prophecy about the Romans becoming conquered at this point, or dominated rather. And then after that, they're going to be the ones who will dominate later on. And that actually in a few years, that is exactly what happened. And then you've got Noon. Now in Noon, you've got Noon والقلم وما يسطرون. You've actually got a mention of the pen. So there's something relevant there, but it does not mention the Quran directly, but obviously that's related. So there's only three surahs where there's no discussion of the Quran like directly immediately after. Is in the, all the other ones, there's a discussion of the Quran after it. So that's a really another interesting point. Now, I know all of this is getting into kind of these more deeper, interesting aspects, right? Which I think what it does for you is that, I think what it does for me is that it just shows me the harmony, the beauty, part of the inimitable nature of the Quran, that it's been produced with all of these factors, right? Despite the fact that it came over 23 years, when you put it together, it still makes perfect sense. It still has harmony. It has harmony in wording, in sound, and everything else. And it's interesting stuff. That's mainly what it is. Now, we've got, that's most of the discussion has been done regarding this. And I don't think we need to, I'm going to mention a few other points I think that are related. So I think what I'm going to end up by saying is that all of that proves that it looks like Alif Lam Mim, Qaf, Sad and all of these are the names of the surahs. And I think we can be satisfied with that. It's related from the great Tabi'i and successor Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiallahu anhu. He said that Sami'tu Salafa Yaqul, I saw my, you know, earlier predecessors saying إِنَّهَا أَسْمَاءُ السُّورِ وَمَفَاتِيحُهَا, that all of these words, these 29 that we have, they are the names of the surahs and they are the keys to the surah. Okay, that's what he says. And what we'll do is we'll leave that discussion there. Now I'm going to discuss, since we have some time left, I want to discuss something that is left over from yesterday. We discussed yesterday the beginnings of the surah, how they all start off with some really skillful, beautiful, impactful, bold statement, which also indicates towards the meaning. We discussed the endings of the surah as well, right? But we discuss them separately, that the endings are, you know, they end really in a concluding kind of way with a message, with an advice or whatever. And we spoke about the beginnings. Now what I want to try to explore today briefly, right, is the harmony between the beginning and end. The harmony between the beginning and end, and maybe if we get some time, we want to discuss the harmony between the endings of the previous surah and the beginning of the next surah. So one is the surah itself, how the beginning and end, is related, even though there's so much discussion in between, which goes to show that these surahs were as a whole, right? They were designed as a whole by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, right? So that means the beginning and end are in harmony. So it doesn't start with something and then end with totally something else, but there's actually a discussion between them. So let's look at that. There's actually scholars who worked very hard on this. There's full books on this. There's some tafsirs that focus on this directly. So, for example, Imam Suyuti, he's got a small book on this subject called Marasidul Matali fi Tanasubil Maqati wal Matali. Right? It's a kind of a interesting name. And, for example, then you've got by other scholars like such as... Actually, I'll talk about that later. Now, let's look at some examples of this. If you look at Suratul Qasas, for example, now we're not going to go through all of this, these are just some examples, right? If you look at Suratul Qasas, it starts off with a discussion about Musa alayhi salam, right? And him being assisted. And then Musa alayhi salam says in verse 17 of that, right? From the beginning, you know, you get to verse 17 when the whole discussion is about Musa alayhi salam, and then he says, فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. So what happens with Musa alayhi salam, you know, his birth and everything, and then after that he beats that person up, and then after that he says, I'm never going to be an assistant to anybody who's a wrongdoer. Now, after that he leaves town, he goes to Madian and everything like that. Now, what then happens is that the end of the surah is actually discussing about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you should not be فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ, that you should not be an assistant or a supporter of the disbelievers. So in the beginning you've got Musa alayhi salam saying he will not support wrongdoers, and at the end it's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi being told that you should not support the disbelievers either, not that he was going to do that. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is then similar to the way that Musa alayhi salam had to leave the town and city and then he came back. Likewise, at the end, it's a discussion about the Prophet ﷺ being consoled for having to have left and have escaped Makkah Mukarrama, and then giving him a promise that he will be coming back. So there's a complete harmony there. Musa alayhi salam story, then Prophet ﷺ story, and the relevant points that there, right? That's why Allah says in verse 7 as well, Inna raduhu ilayki wa ja'iluhu min al-mursaleen. That's another where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam's mother that don't worry, we're going to return your baby to you, right? We're going to return your baby to you. So you can see the harmony in that as well. These are very subtle points. Thereafter that, you've got regarding قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِئُونَ. In that surah, right, Imam Zamakhshari says about this, that it starts off with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, right? Surah Al-Mu'minun, that the believers are successful for sure. The believers are very successful. And right at the end, the discussion is, the last verse, 117, is إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ, that the disbelievers will never be successful. So again, there's harmony between the beginning and the end, both about success. One is believers are successful, the other one is that the disbelievers will not be successful. Thereafter that, it's mentioned, that was mentioned by Zamakhshari, he brought that up. Imam Kirmani, he mentions in his Ajaib that in Surah As-Sad, it starts off with a discussion of bidhikr, or sad wal qur'ani bidhikr, and it ends with in huwa illa dhikrul lil alameen, that this is a reminder for all the worlds. So starts with the concept of dhikr and it ends with the concept of dhikr as well. Likewise, Surah An-Noon, it starts with Well, it doesn't start with it, but it's one of the starting verses. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. This is verse 2. You are not insane, right? By the bounty of your Lord and the gift of your Lord, you are, and the favors of your Lord, you are not insane. And how does it end in verse 51? Innaka la majnoon. They say you are innahu la majnoon. He is insane. Talking about somebody else, one of the enemies. So again, the concept of majnoon begin and it ends again with regarding the insane person. Now let's these were just some examples, just to get you to start looking at these things for yourself, inshallah, when you start, you know, in your discovery, in your reading of the Quran, your pondering over the Quran. And if you find some really interesting ones, you know, you can let us know as well. Now let's quickly just give you an idea in the last 5-6 minutes that we have about the endings of the previous surah and the beginning of the next surah, how even that's linked, even though these surahs could have come down at different times. Yes, some surahs did come down together, like Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. They came down together with that order, okay? They were revealed as a pair, to remove the magic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But many other surahs were not revealed together. For example, Surah Al-Baqarah, you know, Surah Iqra was not revealed with the next surah after that was Surah Al-Muddathir, but they're not together in the Quran. They're not put together. So let us look at some of the interesting things, because remember we discussed already in one of our earlier sessions that the orders of the surah in the Quran are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. They're from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as instructed from him. So you've got Surah Al-Fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. It says faja'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the Abraha and the elephant, the elephant army and so on, and basically made them, turn them into this. And then after that, the next surah is Li'ila fi Quraysh, which actually I mentioned yesterday as starting off with a reasoning, right? Because of the Quraysh. So now this is referring to the Quraysh. Relevance is the discussion of the Quraysh with that as well. Thereafter that, let's look at a few others. Kawashi refers in his tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, he says that when Surah Al-Nisa, right, ends by commanding that people should believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there should be justice between the servants, that then in the first verse of the next surah, which is Surah Al-An'am, which is Surah Al-Uqud as well, it's also called Surah Al-Uqud. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil-uqud. The previous surah says that you need to focus on the oneness of Allah and you need to make sure that there is justice between the servants. So now the next surah starts off with, O people who believe, fulfill your covenants. Fulfill your covenants. That's why if you really focus and ponder over the endings of the surahs, you ponder over the next surah, you'll notice that there's always a harmony. But in some cases, you can't see it. It's very subtle. You won't see it immediately. You know, it's quite subtle, right? And in some, it's actually very, very clear. For example, Surah Al-An'am begins with Alhamd, right? Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda wa ja'ala dhulumati wa nur thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'dilun wa alladhi khalaqakum min tin thumma qada ajala. That Surah Al-An'am beginning with a praise. And it's perfect. Because the previous surah, which is Surah Al-Ma'idah, that ends with a discussion of the Day of Judgment. And this is the verse. It says, the last verse is, قَالَ اللَّهُ, or the second to last verse, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now there's a praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it ends with. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dominion of the heavens and the earth and everything that is in there, and he has ability over everything. And now the next verse, which is the first verse of Surah Al-An'am, is all praises to Allah who created the heavens and the earth. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. So the first the ending of the the ending of Surah Al-Ma'idah was, for Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And now this surah starts with Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal, who created the heavens and the earth. So you can see that as well. Just like that, you've got, if you look at Surah Az-Zumar, you'll see that as well. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All the matter will be decided between them with absolute truth, and then it will be said, all praises to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And then you've got Surah Al-Fatir, which starts with Alhamdu again. Right? So all praises to Allah, and the ending of the previous one was Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The most interesting one, I would say, which is obvious, is Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah. So Surah Al-Fatiha, right, ends with well, it doesn't end, but it ends with the dua. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. So take us to the straight path. Keep us on the straight path. Guide us upon the straight path. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Al-Baqarah. أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ, that is the book. There's no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the righteous ones. So we're asking for guidance to the straight path, and now this is talking about that guidance, that it's all in the Quran. So then Surah Al-Baqarah begins with that. Then after that, just some few random ones. Surah Al-Kawthar, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, we've given you abundant, right? Kawthar can also refer to abundance. It doesn't have to refer to just the water reservoir, but it can refer to abundance. Now, the ending of the previous surah was regarding four things. It's أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. There are four things that were, you can say, condemned in the previous surah, in Surah Ma'un, right? Number one is bukhl and miserliness. Number two is laziness and abandonment of prayer. Number three was having no sincerity and doing things for ostentation and show, right? Yura'un. And number four was them preventing zakat, not giving. So that's why, if you look at now Surah Al-Kawthar after it, it's a response to all of those three. Allah says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, I have given you al-kawthar, which means abundance. Now that is obviously al-khayr al-kathir, abundant good. That obviously goes against the concept of miserliness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli. So pray. That goes against the whole abandonment of the prayer discussed before. And then it says, fasalli li rabbika, li rabbika. Pray for your Lord. So have ikhlas and sincerity for your Lord, not for anybody else. That goes against the concept of ostentation, and that remedies that. And the last point is wanhar, and sacrifice. And then, you know, in your sacrifice, you do sacrifice, and then you give out to others as well. That's the opposite of those who don't give zakat. So you can see the harmony between those two surahs as well. Allah, Allah. There's so much of this discussion, but I think we are going to have to stop here because our time is up. But mashallah, the ulama have discussed this in great detail. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see this for ourselves as well when we read the Quran and we start just being amazed by it, so that we can read it more and we can make it the book of choice for us, that when we need to read something, when we need to get away from the world, when we need to distract ourselves from the mundane activities of this life, that it will be the Quran. And the Quran has it all. And I'm hoping that inshallah these sessions are helping that understanding of enriching our understanding of the Quran, so that we can make it a book of choice for us, and thus save ourselves both in this world and in the hereafter. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, you know, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khair and assalamu alaikum. ورحمة الله وبركاته